Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I was worried your peanut butter consumption went down because of my Christmas gift last year.
No,
I actually
coincided.
Think it was already starting to shift.
Yeah, it coincided with the lack of smell. Still
a problem.
A year later, which sucks. So that has definitely impacted the
Reese's. I thought you bought like a smelling kit.
I've been bad about using it.
Come on, man. You did this. You
did it work at least when you did use it?
I was already starting to smell a little bit for like 3 weeks before this was probably a couple weeks before we went to Vegas. So early October. And I was like, wow, I'm starting to like, I can start smelling things. Here we go. And then I bought the kit because I wanted to like enhance it. And I did that for a little while, went to Vegas. I could still smell there. And then probably a week or two in November, it went away. And now it's completely gone again.
Has it ruined any other food for you?
Yeah,
less
absolutely.
Reese's peanut butter cup, less Chipotle.
Here's what it's done.
What else has it gotten rid
of? It's bad because, no, is it annoying? Some food that, in a weird way, the saltier the food, the more I like stuff that's not heavily flavored. I really can't taste very well. So like if something is heavily salted, peppered or whatever, I can really taste it. Now I'm not like, I'm not big on putting extra
more
pepper and salt, but like if the dish already, like last night I had Chinese food. Okay.
That's a classic salt and pepper.
Right.
Food.
I had chicken fried rice and some wonton soup. The wonton soup was not nearly as salty as it normally is, but it doesn't mean it wasn't salty. The chicken fried rice was good. But it didn't taste the same as it did when I had it like 2 months ago.
Did you go to like a local Chinese place?
Yeah, there's a place we go like, that I've gone.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was like that or like a Panda Express.
No, I'm talking about an actual Chinese restaurant. I'm not going to give them free love, but yeah, it's been, you know, the part of town I live in, it's right around in that area.
Sure.
It's an actual restaurant. It's been around for probably 20 years at this
little
point.
Little surprise, you're a wonton soup guy. Like,
oh,
I like
sure.
Wonton soup.
Wonton soup, chicken fried rice. Mm-hmm.
Chicken fried rice doesn't surprise me. That's the like... That's
My mom was busy with some work stuff, so my dad wasn't going to get dinner with her. So he's like, "Do you want to go get dinner?" So him and I went and had some Chinese food last night.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know? Just you and the dad?
Yeah.
Little father son time?
Fine. Yeah.
Wow. What a moment. What'd you guys talk about?
He asked how the show was today.
What?
He's like, "How was the show?" I was like, "Good." How was the show? It's like, "Oh, it's terrible. Cody was awful. And Drew is
he's
terrible.
Really mean
and,
to me.
You know, they were just jerks. And, you know,
Drew's a Bengals fan.
Drew's a Bengals fan. You know how that is, you know? No, it was just small talk stuff. Nothing really going on.
It's a typical dad
chopping
stuff.
Up a pig behind the restaurant.
Man.
No.
Just on the
sidewalk. Is your stomach feeling okay today?
Someone says, I been to an ENT? This is not to bore you guys. I had gone to, remember, because I had the allergy stuff going on, everything all at once.
He that saw many ENTs.
Yeah. No, I know. Never went to an ENT.
Oh, maybe not.
Went to a doctor. The allergy and like respiratory stuff is all under control. That's all fine. I've better than it's been in the...
Yeah, you seem right. But you were rolling for about a year on that.
Yeah,
I feel like.
It was a mess. So every time I go to the doctor, I've said, hey, I still can't smell. And they're like, yeah, we think it's just long COVID, just kind of basically like SOL. They didn't say that, but that's basically what they said.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And so they're like, we could refer you ENT if you want. I'm about ready to be like, hey, I mean, is this the fact that it came back, though, gives me some hope that it is just something I'm going to have to keep waiting out.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Sometimes people say it comes back still later.
No,
I still think you should use your smelling kit, you know?
I should. I think that I can, because it's strong. It's like clove and eucalyptus. Like, they're strong smells, like rose pungent and lavender. Herbs. Like,
is that smelling salts or is it?
No, they're basically capsules, and you open them and you sniff.
Sure.
I'm sure it's great and healthy.
Sounds like a lovely Wednesday night, you know, for you and the
family. Bring them in. You want me to bring in the smelling kit? You can try.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway.
Why not?
Anyway.
The biggest news yesterday in the NFL was that, even though they're only a game back in their division and possess the tiebreaker against their divisional opponent in the Bucs, the Atlanta Falcons have made the shift. They paid $160 million over 4 years to Kirk Cousins, a lot of which they still owe him and is guaranteed, and he's under a no-trade clause. But they're switching to Penix anyway. In the middle of a playoff hunt, after week 14 of the NFL season, you do not see this very often for a team who spent this amount of free agency dollars. I still think they're idiots and they're going to screw up Penix somehow because no amount of any decision they've made has been the right one. They paid Kirk Cousins. Bad decision, it turns out. And we liked the move at the time, but we get the revisionist part of this now. And it was a bad move that they shouldn't have made. And then it didn't make sense to pay Kirk Cousins that amount of money, draft an older quarterback in Michael Penix, and then what? Hope he gets to start at age 26, so that part of the plan doesn't make any sense. To your point earlier, I'll give him credit. It would have been easy to just keep starting Kirk Cousins, see if you can limp into the playoffs, and then hand the keys over to Penix next year after Kirk stinks the entire season. But they made the switch. Penix gives him a better chance to win now, and they're going to do that. So kudos.
Right, so totally with you on that. As I said, I mean, I think a lot of teams would have just continued to stick with the guy they paid all this money to save face and all of that. And they were willing to be honest with themselves when they asked the question after Monday night's win against the Raiders, is Kirk Cousins giving us the best chance to win football games? And they're a game out of a playoff spot right now. And the answer is obviously no. And they were honest with themselves. They said, no, Michael Penix does. And they're making the move. It sounds simple, but there's a lot of teams that are not willing to do that. And so that's where they get some credit. But the entire situation was self-created. They went out and signed Kirk Cousins and gave him all this money. And yes, at the time, I had no issue with it. And I still have no issue with the initial thought of it. My thought, though, when they signed him is that they had felt confident medically that he was going to be fine. And clearly he's not.
Yeah.
Tucker's point earlier in the show, and you'll hear our conversation with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, coming up in about a half hour. There was a stretch. I know it doesn't feel like there was a stretch of like five games where Kirk Cousins looked really good. They were putting up a lot of points. They were a 6-3 football team.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did he get re-injured? Did he just lose all confidence? I find that hard to believe for a veteran, but it looks like he's not confident in his own ability to play, which goes back to the health thing. So Michael Penix, the draft pick, it should have drafted a defensive guy. Now it looks weird. Now it looks good because they have a backup plan. I guess if they make the playoffs with Michael Penix, like if they win the division, which is still a very likely scenario, I believe, given their schedule and the tiebreaker over the Bucs. If they get to the playoffs, then Michael Penix being their quarterback of the future, then that's all good, but they're going to have to they're going to basically pay Kirk Cousins $90 million to play 14 football games.
Do you want to know what I think the truth is? And I don't think it's faded away yet. I think Tom Brady made us forget what old quarterbacks look like. He is a 38-year-old quarterback coming off of a major injury. We used to bury quarterbacks for having any chance of success at that age. They signed a 38, like in retrospect, I can't even believe I liked this deal in the first place. A 38-year-old quarterback coming off of a major injury? That's a no. That's a pass.
Him and Aaron Rodgers.
Part of the reason I like the Cousins one is what Ross Tucker mentioned, which you can hear back here coming up in about 15 minutes, which is, yeah, their quarterback situation was so bad, I just figured, well, you got to do something about it. It's awful. And so, part of me, but like in retrospect, yeah, no wonder Aaron Rodgers stinks or Kirk Cousins stinks. 38, 39, 40-year-old players are supposed to be bad. They're old. They're real old. And they're coming off of, again, major injuries. This is not a surprising development under any other case before Tom Brady existed and played high-level football at 45.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't even entertain a quarterback playing at a high level at that age. We got washed away in what was the glaze of he seemed to be the only person who beat Father Time. And so, like, I mean, God, Peyton Manning was younger than Kirk Cousins is now when his career washed away. And so, fine. I'm glad they turned it over to Penix. He can't be worse than Cousins right now. He's playing right now. That's impossible. But right. Like, I'll be honest. The reports are like, they love Penix, though.
Of course they do.
I'll be like, I gotta be honest. This organization's been together for a little while. I've had a couple cracks at quarterback. I'm not totally sure I would trust their judgment. I'm not just being like, Penix is going to be a star. I don't know how Penix is going to be. I liked him fine coming out of the draft, but
I think, though, because Drew mentioned Bo Nix earlier, like, hey, age-wise, what I took from that is there a chance Michael Penix is better prepared, though, to jump in? You know, because I think that's why Bo Nix has had success this year. He is experienced, which is why when we've looked at Bo Nix, he deserves a lot of credit. I also still think his ceiling is lower because and his floor is clearly higher, though. So if Michael Penix, if his floor is higher, well, then he's going to come in and maybe have some success. I don't know long term what he's going to be. Bo Nix is never going to be a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback, in my opinion, in football.
No.
But he's also going to probably be in the range to get him paid for a long time in this league, 10 to 15th.
Great, like, if you're a Chiefs fan, if he gets Brock Purdy's most recent estimate, which is like $300 million or something.
Michael Penix, because of his age and all the experience in college, if he can stay healthy, because that was a question coming out of the draft, if he can do that, there is a chance that I could see him having some success quickly. Now, one thing to watch in practice and actually play in a game, but the fact that he's also making his debut in December and not in September means he definitely has a better grasp of this offense than he would have in September. I mean, that's just absolutely true. But can he handle the moments in live action in the NFL at that speed? The good news is the schedule is soft for them. You know, it's the Giants, Carolina, and the Commanders, I believe. That'll be the toughest
two out of three
one.
Three is a joke. Yeah. And the Commanders one, I don't know if that one's home or the road. And look, the Commanders might have their positioning kind of locked by then, depending on what they win.
Texline wants to know if you know where Michael Penix played college football.
I normally don't know where they play college football while they're actively in college.
Okay.
But the draft helps a little bit. He was a top 10 pick. Washington?
Where else?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Wait, he played somewhere else?
Yes. And, hold on. Let me give you a clue. They're one of the great stories. Wow, this is given away. One of the great stories of college football this year.
They're in the playoff.
Boise?
No,
Indiana. Sorry,
I
guess I thought the clue was going to make it obvious, but you're right. You thought
they
Boise
seemed like a pretty good story this year. I didn't know
they were a good story when he played too, because he led them to nine
fair.
Wins. That
I
year.
Thought
it was
the clue was going to automatically give it away, but I guess Boise
State's also a good story.
Could have applied,
and you were giving me the hint. I was just supposed to assume Boise State at that point.
Fair.
He was playing college football in the COVID year. That's how far back you got to go for Penix.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience. I know Desmond Howard probably is going to be very, very excited now about this development of Michael Penix getting some playing time.
Quarterback, and they know that every time he takes the field, he's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy.
He didn't need to say it three times.
I know.
The three times makes it. I'll say, like, the way, because, like, that's the question. It's like, from the 913, if he blows everyone away, what do they do with Kirk's contract? Eat it.
Well, Kirk's done in Atlanta no matter what. Yeah, I mean, that's over.
We have seen this now probably three times in the last 5 years in the NFL, and you're like, well, there's just no way they can take on $62 million in dead cap. Yeah, they can, and they will. They're going to have to pay him anyway, and they're just going to pay him while they have a quarterback and a rookie contract. The downside to this happening to Atlanta, it's the same thing that happened with Brock Purdy, and it's happened to some other organizations. The thing that stinks about this, because it's happening in Denver right now, Denver could be an even better team with even greater upside, but they're paying Russ $50 million to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so it stinks, and you don't get the advantage of rookie contract on a rookie deal the same way, because it'll be rookie contract. It'll be rookie quarterback on Kirk Cousins' deal, essentially. Like, you won't get the advantage of the rookie contract. He'll just be paying for Kirk Cousins' money.
But you got to get better quarterback play, yeah. and that's what they're going to get from Michael Penix. Now, to what extent, we don't know. But it really, you said it, like, honestly, it can't get worse because Kirk Cousins really had thrown one touchdown and like nine picks over his last five games. I mean, that's not. I mean, you can't win.
His first touchdown in the last five games was Monday night.
You can't win games consistently like that's why they were on a 4-game losing streak or whatever. They won Monday night because they were playing a terrible Raiders team that was starting Desmond Ridder at quarterback, and they were having success running the football. That's the one thing with Atlanta. Like, they can run. That is not a problem. Robinson and Algier, they're having success running the football. They have some weapons, and Drake London and Mooney. Kirk Cousins had 11 completions on Monday Night Football. 11.
It's nice to have a quarterback, too.
And they won.
He was throwing, because Penix was throwing for like 350 a game at Washington. Like, they were airing it out.
I will say, good on Kirk Cousins for getting the no-trade clause in his contract, because now he gets to do the same thing Derek Carr did to the Raiders, which is, hey, we'd like to trade you to team. Nah, I'm good. What do you mean? Pay me my contract. I'll take every cent I'm owed. And then I will just go choose any of the 32 teams who want me. I'm not going to let you determine
who will
trade for me. Do you think
he's going to want him after the contract, though?
Okay, so we always say this. I think
somebody on a no-money deal, nobody's going to trade for him and pay him that contract. If he gets traded, the Falcons are still going to have to eat the money.
I think this is really common where, like, we immediately, like, who would let them start? And I just need to point out a couple real quick. If your comment is, he looks so terrible, who would let Kirk Cousins start an NFL football game again? Do I need to pull up the last 2 years of Russell Wilson in Denver?
You'd rather have Carson Wentz, though, than Kirk Cousins. No. I think
Carson Wentz hasn't started in 5 years.
I know, but the way he's played.
But it's the same thing as the exact example Cody gave. We were all saying the same thing about Russ. I mean, Russ was horrendous, and then he still got a job because the Steelers are only paying him $1 million, and then to their credit, he's playing some good football right now. I get what you're saying, but like we literally just saw the same scenario. The only difference would be if we find out that Kirk Cousins is truly hurt still and re-injured it and needs to have a procedure again. But so far, we haven't heard any of that. Like Raheem Morris was speaking just now. I saw some quotes coming out of Atlanta, and he was, you know, obviously acknowledging Kirk Cousins as the person, right? Everybody said, like, he's a pro, he's a great person. All that is true. Ultimately, this is a football decision, and that is true. But unless Raheem Morris was like, yeah, you know, we're going to take another look, we think he re-injured his Achilles, then if they're only going to have to pay him $1 million somewhere else,
he'll start for the Titans.
Somebody else will sign him for a year, because I still think this goes back to the Achilles stuff.
Oh, he might never be able to push off the same way again, which means he's not as good of a player, though.
Like, I told you.
It's not Kirk's fault. It's just that.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying. If it's a health reason why he's playing bad, then you're right. Nobody will sign him. He won't clear a physical, and it'll be pretty evident. But what does he look like in July? Like, I don't think somebody's signing him in March, if you're asking me that. I think this is going to be something in like June or July. Like he's not going to be the first priority for any team. He's going to be somebody goes through free agency in the drafts and they don't get who they got. They didn't get who they wanted. Yeah. And then they say, hey, let's check in with Kirk Cousins. How's that Achilles? We need to bring you in for a workout. Let's see what's going on.
I just wonder if it's different because Russ was never hurt. He just stunk. Where Kirk Cousins, if he can't push off, like he might be able to throw a ball, but if he can't push off, you're not having the leverage that you need to make a throw.
I'm agreeing with you. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Unless it's totally with you. If it's a health thing, then yeah, nobody's going to sign him. That's what we don't. But right now, they're not saying that he had a relapse on some Achilles injury or something like that. But if this is who he is health-wise, and if it's a health problem, yeah, nobody will sign him. I'm just saying, if it's not a health problem, then somebody will, because they'll assume that they can get him right, and he's just off, you know, mentally in the game and confidence right now.
I just think more often than not, teams' quarterbacks are way worse than you think. This year, starting quarterbacks going into the season were Russell Wilson, who everybody thought was cooked, Gardner Minshew, nobody knew about Sam Darnold,
Daniel Jones.
Bryce Young got benched by his team in the middle of the year this year. Daniel Jones, Will Levis. Are they going to believe in Anthony? Like, every year there's 10 teams who would like to upgrade their quarterback situation. They'll kick the tires on Kirk. Not all 10,
no,
but a couple will, and somebody will find a spot.
Let's get back to the Royals, though, for a little bit here. We had J.J. Piccolo on about a half hour or so ago to talk about this offseason post-winter meetings. I want to go back to the angle with Cody Bellinger and also just the middle of the order bat, because I think there were some Royals fans bummed out yesterday when Bellinger was traded to the Yankees, and they saw that the Yankees, now they're going to be paying, $20-plus million a year. In terms of actual personnel, they gave up a reliever. That was it. And so there were some Royals fans that were saying, wait, we could have just given up a reliever and had the money. I think the money is clearly part of the problem.
One, pretty good money they're going to pay.
$20+ million a year for the next two. Now, you can opt out after a year, so maybe you're only on the hook for a year.
Based on the way you performed last year, you're on the hook for both.
And so that's part of the equation. The other part would be looking at Cody Bellinger, who was disappointing last year. And I can't remember who put out the numbers, but at Kauffman State, if he was playing at Kauffman last year, he only would have hit, like, I think 12 balls out of the ballpark, like 12 baseballs out of the ballpark. That's it. And so
if he played all 162, I guess the good news is 81 are not playing there, but yeah, same point.
Yeah. So maybe maybe they don't view him in that regard. Now, when we had JJ on though, we asked about flexibility and can they push it, you know, a little bit like they did last year. And you asked him about the percentage of their offseason goals. He said they're waiting for, honestly, the prices to go down on a lot of players. That doesn't just mean free agency, by the way. That could also mean the price of acquiring a player. I don't think the actual acquisition cost for Bellinger was a lot.
No.
It was the payroll cost. Probably was part of the equation if they were interested, right? It's not giving up a reliever. I don't know if they're against giving up a, I just keep using his name as an example, random Carlos Hernandez or whatever. I don't know why I just keep,
let's just say Daniel Lynch for that.
Sure.
Thing, right?
That probably isn't the problem. It was probably the $20 million or so that they were going to pay for Cody Bellinger.
If that's the case, then shouldn't they desperately want Bohm?
Well,
like
so
he
a
is,
lot of players. So a lot of teams. Yeah.
He is cost controlled and available. So like, you can trade for him, not sign him in free agency, and he is cheap. So, like, I'm just asking, like,
the Phillies are going to trade Alec Bohm, but you know, there's like the Seattle Mariners are the favorite to land him right now.
Here's part of it too, I guess, is that I do think that the Royals' expectation should be to make the playoffs again next year, seeing how they made it this year, and it felt a year early for them. Although, you know, regression from the starting pitching staff is there. If they need a bat. If, like, they find out they need a bat, you know, Renfro can't stay healthy, Massey isn't the bat they want, whatever. The guys that they have options there at 5 and 6 and all that spot in the lineup. Can't you just get it in July? Like, no offense. This move to me doesn't have to happen now. I'm not saying I don't want it, but if you're like a good team and in a playoff hunt again and performing well, but you're still missing a middle of the order bat, that is available oftentimes at the trade deadline.
But that's why they need the flexibility position wise from someone like Massey or others, because usually, not always, usually it's easier to acquire a middle of the order bat at the deadline if you're willing to play them at DH. And this team is kind of, you know, there's a log jam with that. I mean, Vinny's going to be first base 99% of the time.
Salvi's going to get about 70 of the DH.
If you want to continue to utilize the benefit of it, let's hope Freddie Fermin is still as effective as he was this past year at the plate. Well, they're going to try to find ways to get both of those guys in the lineup. Well, you have to utilize a DH in order to do that. And so I hear you by waiting the middle of the order bat middle of the season, but what's your flexibility like there? And there is a chance, actually, the cost is more, not for a half season rental, but in general, like there, if there's more teams that are in contention and there's true demand at that point in time, there's a chance that actually the cost is more.
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, again, I don't look at that as being a bad thing necessarily, because I know it sounds like hedging. You're like, I just want to be sure that I feel good about it. But that's the way it goes sometimes in Major League Baseball. You can't put all your chips into one pile.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then you'll hear our conversation we had with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. We asked him about handling this Mahomes ankle injury, plus his perspective on the wild card teams right now. Which team, if any, could go on a little bit of a run?
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What's trending?
What's trending on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending around Chiefs practice. We start there. Once again, DJ Humphries, Chamari Connor not practicing. Really no surprise there. Patrick Mahomes giving it a go today. We'll find out later on in a couple hours whether or not he was a full participant once again. But you guys know how this goes. It's a Wednesday. DJ Humphries not practicing again. Probably mean he's not playing Saturday. Yeah.
Andy, I said that, like, you got to practice to play. That's Andy's rules. Mm-hmm. Next up on What's Trending, K-State lost to Drake in overtime at T-Mobile, 73-70. UMKC went on to beat Wichita State on the road last night. That's the biggest win of their season. It might be the biggest win of the last 5 years for UMKC. They actually beat Missouri not that long ago, but it turned out it was a year Missouri was like, was pretty bad.
Still a Power 5 school.
Beating the Power 5 school on the road.
But UMKC beating a American Conference school on the run in a bye game. They got paid to go there. That's the best. You get paid to play them, and you beat them.
Missouri also beat Jacksonville State yesterday to move to 10-1 on the season.
Next up on What's Trending, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, says they're monitoring what is happening with three-point attempts. They're increasing is what's happening, and it's getting out of control. And for a lot of the casual fans, it's not watchable. Diehard NBA guys are going to watch the NBA no matter what, but it's the product is suffering. The ratings are showing that, as a matter of fact, as well. There's so many ideas out there. Do you move the line back?
Shrink the basket.
The crazier one was make dunks worth 3 points or 2.5 points or something like that.
Two and a half. The final score tonight. Pacers 102.5.
No, Knicks 91. They would not do half. Half would be stupid. 3 points for dunks would just be insane too. But I get the thought of it. Require you to start driving the paint again.
They got to figure out a way. Maybe you make, I don't know, maybe you make mid-range jumpers worth the same. There's got to be some way in order to fix it. They know this. Baseball's been going through this. Every sport goes through this transformation except for the NFL because it's king. Where how do you make your sport more interesting? Lastly, on what's trending, the Ivy League will join the FCS playoff moving forward for college football playoffs starting next year. This is big news, actually, for the Ivies, who do not participate in any postseason conference-y stuff. So now they're going to get to be a part of that. It's good for them.
Yeah,
I guess smart kids couldn't be breaking into finals time, you know? It's fine.
That's right.
They're going to need a delay on their physics final at Stanford. Not Stanford. Brown. Whatever.
Yeah, I know what you meant. Stanford.
Brown, Yale, Harvard, those.
Harvard of the West. That's what's trending. Here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us. He joins us every Wednesday, thanks to Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And we start our conversation asking him, all right, as a player, the balance of talking to your coach, and how would you handle this if you're Mahomes and Andy Reid with the ankle?
You know, one thing I think is really interesting about it, I actually spoke this morning with John Ritchie, you know, the former Raiders and Eagles fullback. I never heard this before, but he said, it's actually easier to come back from, and you're faster to come back from after you have multiple.
Interesting.
I don't know how that makes any sense whatsoever. Yeah. I have not heard that before, but I guess he's had multiple, and that's his experience, which I think is fascinating. I don't know. The guy's Gumby, man. I mean, I feel like this happens every year. I'm sure you guys know. You're Kansas City radio. How many years in a row now has he gotten a high ankle sprain, and we're all like, oh, no, I don't know what's going to happen, and then he comes back and is able to play?
This is his sixth time coming back from an ankle injury before a game. The previous five times he did not miss a game. So it didn't matter. Like, sometimes they were in the playoffs and they were severe injuries, or like he was limping significantly. But this will be the sixth time. If he plays on Saturday, he'll be 6-for-6 for getting a high ankle sprain and playing the same week.
Yeah, that is obviously just absurd. I can't believe that that's the case. But that's him. I mean, he has an unbelievable ability to bounce back from those things. I do think, if you're Andy Reid and, you know, the organization, I think you have to consider sometimes protecting him from himself. I know for me, I would love to see Wentz play as like a science experiment, right? You know, being a Philly guy, I'd love to see what Wentz could do for Andy Reid. You know, the thing that's weirdest to me about that, and I know you guys said they had a light workout or whatever.
Yeah.
But the strangest thing to me about that is the fully participating part of it. You know, like, even if you're telling me he's going to play in the game, which I can see, okay, fine. To fully participate in practice? I mean, guys have, like, nothing going on, and they're limited participants, you know?
I think,
like, the fully participant thing almost made me skeptical.
In a weird way, what I think, in a weird way, the reason why it doesn't for me, Ross, is Andy Reid, there's lots of things. I think 95% of his coaching career, he's been really great at adapting. But there's a couple things he's a no-budge thing on. And one of them is, you want to play? You better practice. And I think with quarterback, it's like, you better all the way practice. You don't get a half-ass out here at quarterback and then start on Saturday. I feel like that's just been his stance as a coach.
Well, and I kind of like hearing that. A lot of guys aren't that way. You know, I think that stems from his experience being able to get so many backup quarterbacks ready to play at a high level, thinking, hey, if I get a full work week and I get to show these guys, you know, exactly what this team's going to do and get them prepared, that I think I can have them play at a high level. Because I think it's like there's obviously a lot of value in being able to practice and get those reps. The question is, like, if you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, who's been your quarterback for all these years now, would you rather have him be at 90% with only getting a couple reps in walkthrough on Friday, or 75% with getting the reps all week?
Sure.
You know, and maybe Andy doesn't look at it, but that's how I look at it. And most coaches, they prefer the guy with being as healthy as possible. Andy, I think to some extent you guys are right. It's very, very important to him that the guys practice.
The reason why this is all so much more complicated, too, is because we know they're in the middle of this 3-game and 11-day stretch, and they're playing on Saturday against Houston, and then they got to turn around and go to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. They have the early bye week. That's been a huge topic of conversation here, both from those in the media, and also Chris Jones acknowledged how that early bye week is something that if teams are going to have to play 3-10 around Christmas, this late in the year and stuff, that then they should have to have a later bye week. But because of that, do you think the number one seed, knowing the injury that Mahomes has right now, like the number one seed, do you think Kansas City has to win on Saturday, in your opinion? Because they got to win two of the next three if Buffalo wins out.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Chiefs, for a million different reasons, the number one seed is critically important. And I also think it's really interesting, they don't really have any gimme games left. You know, I mean, you play the Texans, then you're playing at Pittsburgh, which, by the way, I'll be there calling that one for Westwood One Radio.
Nice.
And then you're playing at Denver. You know, now Denver might have already clinched a playoff berth by then, and they probably will, but I don't think that will affect how Sean Payton plays in that game at all. I think Sean Payton, he wants the best record possible. He wants to go into the playoffs with momentum. He wants to beat the Chiefs, all those things. So none of these games are gimmies. So I think what you really want to do, obviously, is try to clinch it as soon as possible so that you can rest as much as possible. I think getting that first week off is gigantic for both mentally and physically. And then, you know, you'd much rather be at Arrowhead than have to go to Buffalo or somewhere else for the AFC Championship game. I know they did it last year at Buffalo, at Baltimore. It's super impressive. Everything they do is super impressive. But you don't want to be in life, you don't want to be increasing your degree of difficulty, right? Just because you can do something, you know, just because you can do the quadruple Lindy off the diving board doesn't mean that's the dive you should do every time.
When you look at what Buffalo is, are you worried? So, like, every team's got a fatal flaw. I think that's just kind of the nature of the NFL 90% of every year. Every once in a while, there's some team that has it all. Bills defense, how worried are you of that for them? Because over the last 2 weeks, they're 1-1, but they've given up, like, 85 points.
Yeah, definitely concerned, and they should be. It has not been good on that side of the ball. You know, part of me wonders a little bit against Detroit, because the offense was so unstoppable and has been, and they had a double-digit lead a lot in that game. So I think part of me wonders a little bit how much of that was like, hey, let's play a little bit softer. Let's not give up anything cheap and deep. You know, we don't want to, you know, we're up two scores, and they kind of were yielding yards as slowly as possible. But it is a concern. Now, their safeties were hurt. Milano got hurt during the game. But how can you not be concerned when you just gave up 40 points 2 weeks in a row? I mean, that's, you know, when you watch the Super Bowl video after the season for the team that won it, they usually don't talk about the back-to-back weeks late in the season where they gave up over 40 points 2 weeks in a row. Right?
I honestly don't think the Chiefs have given up 40 points in like 3 years.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
Ross, like when you look at the rest of the AFC wildcard teams, I am curious on that end. Which of the wildcard teams do you take the most serious? We know Chiefs and Bills are 1-2. Let's take out the other division winners right now at the moment. You know, or at least the Texans out of this. What are the wild card teams that you're like, yeah, that's the one that really scares me in the AFC?
Yeah, I think it's whoever doesn't win it out of win the AFC North out of Baltimore and Pittsburgh. You know, because do I think the Broncos and Chargers could give you a good game or give anybody a good game? Yeah, but it's a lot different in the NFC. I mean, the NFC, your first two wild cards are probably going to be the Vikings and the Packers. Those are legit teams I could see in the Super Bowl. The only wild card team I could see in the Super Bowl would be the Baltimore Ravens. Even if the Pittsburgh Steelers are a wild card, I could see them winning a game, you know, maybe two, but they're not good enough to go on the road three straight weeks and beat really good teams. I don't see that happening. I do think Baltimore could pull it off. The way Lamar Jackson's playing this year, their belief, their pedigree, they could pull it off. I'm not saying they're gonna, but they're by far the most dangerous wild card team.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Lastly, I want to get your perspective on Michael Penix era beginning in Atlanta. That news last night. I understand the criticism, of course, around the draft pick selection to begin with, since they had signed Kirk Cousins, and I know everybody was calling them idiots at the time of drafting. But now I think they deserve a slight bit of credit that they're willing to pull the plug on Kirk Cousins. A lot of teams, I feel like, would have just held through this whole thing and kind of said, hey, no, we paid this guy this kind of money. We've got to keep playing Kirk Cousins.
Yep. So let's start with signing Kirk Cousins. Loved that decision. They had the worst quarterback play in the NFL the last 2 years. Arthur Smith would still be their head coach if he had had Kirk Cousins the last 2 years. That made perfect sense. Had no qualms with that whatsoever. You know, I know he's coming off the Achilles. What I don't understand about Cousins right now is how he's gotten worse during the season. You know, I get it. He's in the new offense. I get it coming off the injury. But he was playing pretty well. Like, they were winning shootouts when they were 6-3. I don't know what happened that he dropped off like this. That's the weird part of it to me that I don't really understand. So that's a sunk cost, though. And I'm a big fan of when teams realize that something or someone is a sunk cost and that you're paying them the money regardless, and that trotting him out there and continuing to play him because, quote-unquote, we gave him all that money, that's compounding your mistake. That's compounding your error. Penix almost can't possibly be worse than what we've seen from Cousins the last couple weeks. He's really been that bad. I mean, it's been really, really bad. And so they can't do the play action stuff, the boot stuff. I think this is the right decision at the right time. It's unfortunate that the Cousins thing didn't work out, but it is what it is. And, you know, I hated the decision to draft Penix Jr. because I felt like getting a defensive player at 8 could have been the difference between playoffs or not. But now doubling down at the quarterback position looks very, very smart.
Last quick question for you, Ross, and then we'll let you get out of here. We have the company Christmas party tonight, open bar. What's the acceptable amount of drinking in that situation?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. It really depends on how well you can hold your liquor, you know? Like, you don't strike me as someone that can have that many and still be able to handle a good conversation with your boss.
That's fair.
I'm thinking for you, maybe one or two, like, Coors Lights.
Okay.
but on the other hand, Adam's a rock star. You know, I've seen Adam at work. I've seen both of you guys at work, but I've seen Adam with all the ladies hitting on him. Like, I've seen the whole deal.
Oh, you said you did see Alex. You saw a waitress get a number from a waitress, right?
That's right. Did I say Adam? I meant Alex.
You're good.
Alex,
you're good. We knew what
Cody
you meant.
And Alex. Sorry,
yeah.
Alex.
You're good, man.
I don't know why I just said Adam there. It's no big deal. I only do like 20 of these a day.
Right.
So, I've seen Alex work, and Alex, like, he's got the hair. He's well dressed. I think Alex can put down 5 to 7 IPAs or,
wow,
like, vodka tonics and still totally be able to handle himself. So I also don't know how secure you guys are in your jobs. I don't know your boss. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I don't know who all is going to be at the Christmas party. I don't know, like, are there going to be sponsors there?
Nope, just,
on the
just
one hand, on the one hand, you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of sponsors. On the other hand, if you drink a healthy amount, I'll say, with sponsors, that could lock those guys up for years to come. You know, if you guys go out with them after the party, you go to like an after party with them, you could really, like, they could be your boys and loyal sponsors for years. There's all kinds of factors in play, but really it's self-scouting is the most important. You got to know who you are, what you can handle. I've been in those situations. I've had situations where I had to tell somebody, listen, man, like, I really think you should leave. Like, I think this is going to turn out poorly for you. You know, it's usually like the 25-year-old that's so excited about the open bar that they go and they're drinking. Wait, it's like, hey, listen, man, like, you could do something in the next hour that gets you fired. How about just going home and calling it a night?
I think on this show, that's more likely to be Cody, actually.
Ah, come on.
I think that's...
I can handle myself.
Yeah, I think that might be you. That's good advice from Ross, though, I think. Yeah. Ross, appreciate it, man. Happy holidays. We'll check in a couple weeks.
Sounds great. Great talking with you guys.
So that was J.J. Bacola a little bit, or J.J. Bacola. That was Ross Tucker. I was thinking of J.J. Bacola.
Cody's, we were talking about him
Cody,
for a second.
Cody just said something in the off-air about J.J. Bacola in our interview.
You're trying
earlier.
To get his name wrong. Like he said Adam.
Ross Tucker. Yeah, I should be. That Rob Tucker. No, he obviously made a mistake there. Text line's enjoying the Adam comments.
Adam and?
Cody and Adam.
Cody and Adam. Mm-hmm. That sounds like YouTube channel
if you missed
full of
our,
people who do trick shots. Can we be honest? That's
yes,
the like.
Yes.
Cody and Adam do trick shots on YouTube.
If you missed our interview with J.J. Bacola, though, check it out, Odyssey app. I thought it was interesting. That's what we were talking about during the break, just a few things that he had to tell us earlier. Mm-hmm. But we're back at it tomorrow. We'll find out how this company party goes. We'll definitely report back tomorrow. There'll be something. Drew, I mean, the shot was fired in your direction from Cody earlier tonight.
I know.
He called you a lightweight.
I'm going to have to tell my wife that when she comes.
Have your wife drive, Drew. Have your wife drive.
You're in a drinking contest now. I don't plan on losing.
Do you actually want to do this tonight?
No, we don't have to do a drinking contest at the work party.
That doesn't
tempting,
seem...
but a bad idea.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. It's also a Snitch Line Thursday. Oh, boy.
Maybe you should do a drinking party.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.